It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.
Hey, Paul, glad to be with you here today in the studio, and welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our topic for today is one that I personally am extremely passionate about. It covers an issue that I've run into a number of times in my executive coaching, and I believe that it's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of issues that business coaches will have to deal with more and more. I'm working on a book or a white paper or whatever it ends up defining itself on this topic, and this is the first in a series of broadcasts, and I hope that you'll find it as interesting and as challenging as I do. So let's start. The title for today is, Who Am I? My Job? You know, this is not a story of how to handle retirement, but it could be. It's not a story of how to handle job loss, but it could be. It's not a story of how to handle the loss of a spouse or the story of how to handle a midlife crisis, but it could be. It is the story of how to handle the loss of whom you are and of how to create a new identity for yourself now before it's too late. Let me give you a small personal example and a short story here to get us kicked off that we can use as an example. At one time, I owned a franchise business, Renaissance Executive Forums. I had owned this business for almost 20 years when I decided that I wanted to spend full time on my coaching practice and sell the forums business. I had evaluated all the financial elements and was comfortable that I could handle that change. So negotiations for the sale of the franchise went extremely well with the buyer and with the franchisor, who also had to approve the deal. After the franchisor and I had agreed on the financial elements, I then brought up some other points that I wanted to negotiate. Since I'd been doing this business for so long, almost 20 years, I felt I needed to keep the identity of Renaissance Executive Forums, and I requested that they allow me to continue to use the forum's business card and name and just give me a different title rather than franchisee. Since I had been the first person to buy a forum when they started this business, they also wanted to continue the association. They felt there was a value to having the link to the first person who ever bought one of their franchises. So we proceeded to attempt to try to come up with a solution. There was one other item that I requested, non-financial item. I wanted my wife and I to continue to be invited to attend the annual meeting of all franchisees, both U.S. and international. You know, now that request surprised me, since over the years I'd kind of gotten to the point of not looking forward to attending that meeting, but the thought of not attending it I found was even more uncomfortable than the thought of going to it. They thought that was a good idea too. So we concluded the financial deal and we started going back and forth on the legal aspects of how do we handle the business card, the title, and those other things. These things that I had asked for were critical to my identity, or so I thought. However, after I had spent a few months full time focusing on my coaching practice and not the forum business, and I had created a new business card and a new website, I realized that I was comfortable with the new identity and I could let go of the old one. I think the franchisor came to the same conclusion because neither one of us ever followed up with the other on those open issues that we had started negotiating on. What this story illustrates for me is how important some things can be to our concept of our identity, of our personal identity. For me, it was that link to the international business, the title, the business card. And until I had replaced them with new symbols of a new identity, my coaching practice, I wasn't comfortable. It also illustrates the concept of the story does of working on your new identity before letting go of your old one. For me, it only took a couple months because my coaching practice I had already had for 18 years simultaneously with the forums business. So it was just a matter of shifting my mental priorities of who I am from a franchisor and facilitator of executive groups to a business coach. Well, okay, so what does that story have to do with anything? Well, let's talk about what an identity crisis is. An identity crisis happens when we lose a psychological identity, and we suffer from an identity crisis when we lose that identity that we've been using to feed our ego with. You know, the purpose of most identities is just that. It's to sustain our ego. In the example of the forum story, my being part of an international organization was the key to my identity, my ego, or it was what gave me the confidence that I would be taken seriously by other people. You know, one of the major tasks of the subconscious mind is to protect our ego. It does all it can to achieve that end, the most significant of which is maintaining a worthwhile identity. You know, we can identify with almost anything. It can be a material possession, a place, a friend, a religion, a lover, a country, a social group, whatever you want to name. And if you want to know what ideas or things you're currently identifying with, just start to pay attention to the words that you normally place after the term my forums business, my coaching practice, my baseball team, the Angels, whatever it is. An identity crisis is usually triggered by a major change in our lifestyle. It could be a divorce, the death of a spouse, a job loss, foreclosure, reaching a milestone birthday. As you can see, it could be a real thing or it can be a psychological thing. The other thing is, not all identity crises are bad. The anxiety that's associated with an identity crisis change can be the catalyst that you need to make a positive change in your life. In other words, the fear that I had about losing my identity as a franchisee of an international organization was what really drove me to work hard on reestablishing my identity as a master certified business coach. And if you don't handle properly the identity crisis, the outcome is crippling negative emotions such as depression, anxiety, impulsiveness, or in some cases just the inability to make a decision. You know, people are not born with an identity. This is the good news. Rather, an identity is something that evolves over time. And the creation or the changing of your identity will also take time. Let's talk about what at least two of the key elements are that make up your identity. The first I want to talk about is self-esteem. Self-esteem, it's a sense of self-worth, and it's based on your belief in the value or the worth that you generated. And if you have low self-esteem, which often occurs when key people in your life are critical about you, or when you are a perfectionist and you're critical towards yourself. In either case, the tendency is to harshly judge and ignore or play down the importance of real accomplishments, even when it makes no sense to act this way. You know, how many people have you run into that when you compliment them on something that they've done, they get really uncomfortable? They just can't handle the compliment. There may also be a belief present to the effect that your self-worth can only be based on what other people think of you. And this is really difficult if you're relying on that. In fact, in business, many of us tie our self-worth to how much are we paid, or how much do we earn, or what our title is, or do I have the corner office? Those are the key elements of self-esteem. And if your identity that feeds that sense of what you are worth, that I'm worth what I do or who I am or what others believe, if that identity is threatened, then you have really serious emotional issues that are a result of it until you replace it with a new identity that supports that sense of worth. And, you know, sense of worth, we tend to want to tie it to money, but it isn't. Sense of worth might be, my sense of worth is derived from the contributions or the way in which I help others. People who are involved in nonprofits may have a full-time may have a tremendous sense of worth, not based on monetary things or not based on titles, but based upon the contribution that they are making to the cause that they're supporting. The second key thing that really supports or hinders your identity is self-efficacy. This describes how effective and in control of our lives that we think we are. You know, we need to feel that we have a certain amount of control over our lives so that we're able to get out of difficult situations when they come up, or we're able to meet challenges. When we believe that we're helpless to deal with a negative situation, then we find ourselves tending to maybe get depressed because that self-efficacy, that sense of control, isn't there. We realize there's some aspects of our life that we can't control, but on the other hand, there's a remarkable number of things that can be influenced or controlled. And people who have a low self-efficacy expectations of themselves will believe that they're helpless to influence their fate, and generally, and this is a sad thing, they won't even seek to alter their life even when they're suffering. Self-efficacy tends to be domain-specific, which means that you could have this sense of feeling that I have no control or low self-efficacy in one area, maybe in your business life. You're in a business environment that you just feel you're a pawn. You have no control. It's totally out of your hands. And yet in another area, maybe that of working in a charity that you're involved in outside your working hours, you might feel a tremendous sense of positive self-efficacy because you control it. You are able to have confidence in what you do, and you're able to influence the actions. Understanding this identity issue really needs for you to understand what makes it up, the self-esteem and the self-efficacy. Let's switch from what makes up our identity to how do you lose your identity? You know, it can be a long process over a period of months or years, or it can happen suddenly following a major life trauma or event. Loss of identity may follow all sorts of changes. It's always going to be involved in changes. Changes in the workplace, changes due to the loss of a job or a profession, or the loss of a role that once defined us. It may have been a role as a parent or as a spouse. Either way, when one of those changes occurs and we lose that role, it leaves a gap, an empty space. And this loss of identity usually results in increased levels of anxiety, low self-esteem, low sense of confidence, social anxiety, isolation, all of which threaten our ability to connect with other people. You can also, those are things that tend to happen dramatically all at once. You can also lose your identity, though, through gradual changes in relationships. You know, a healthy relationship is one in which it's a reciprocal relationship, in that the people you're relating to are encouraging and they help you maintain a individual sense of yourself. You know, that's what attracts us to each other in terms of relationships, is the sense that we're supporting each other. But we can lose our identity even in the most healthy of relationships if we're continually accommodating or adjusting our behaviors to support the other person. We may end up with a change in our level of independence or moving into a level of codependency. And when we lose our identity and our sense of self, we're likely to seek our sense of self-worth from others. It suddenly becomes more important how others view us. Do they support our sense of value and our sense of self-worth? Do they give us a feeling of confidence? And, you know, but if we're depending on external factors, boy, then we're really at the mercy of things. You know, people who depend upon their physical appearance. What happens when they get older and that appearance maybe isn't the same? Or they depend upon the amount of money they're making, or they depend upon their popularity. What happens when those things change, you know? As a result, we seek assurance and praise from others to feel okay about ourselves. But in reality, our emotional well-being depends on how we feel about ourselves. In talking about this, you know, who am I, my job or You know, what is it that I identify? We're talking about how do you identify, what do you identify with? Something that supports your self-esteem, something that supports your self-efficacy, your sense of control, your sense of worth. And what are the kinds of things that can cause us to lose that, either dramatic events or gradual changes in relationships? Well, look, I want to talk about establishing a new identity, but before I do, let us take a break here for a minute, and we're going to move to a commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk about how you establish a new identity if you found yourself lost. Okay, we've been talking about identity, who you are. We've talked about what makes up your identity and how you can lose it, but let's shift to some more positive points. How do you establish a new identity? You know, the most important relationship you'll ever create is the one with yourself. Your emotional well-being depends on how you feel about you, and as a result of the relation, which is a result of the relationship you have within yourself. Awareness that you've lost your identity is one of the first steps towards finding it again. You need to explore who you are, what has made you into you. Define your own qualities and attributes. No longer rely on the external validation of others. This can help you to lose the labels that you hung around your neck and halt your pursuit for external recognition and find your true identity. It really hit me home many, many years ago. I worked for the Irvine Company, and I was in charge of their residential development, which meant that I got to select which builders got to buy property on the Irvine Ranch and develop houses. And you know, in those days, getting to build on the Irvine Ranch was pretty much a guarantee that you were going to make a lot of money. And since I held that position, I was in an environment where builders treated me as somebody important. I was invited to lots of things and events and treated respectfully. And, you know, I used to joke about the fact that when I left the Irvine Company and set up my own business as a residential builder, I was amazed at how different I was to externally to people when I no longer was responsible for 80,000 acres. You know, my identity, my relationships had been tied to my position. And when that position changed, it really threatened my sense of self-worth. When people didn't treat me with the same level of respect, that didn't think I was important anymore, it made me question whether I was important anymore. You know, what experts say is that most people need to give themselves a good 2 years to recover from an emotional trauma, such as a breakup, the loss of a spouse, or the loss of a job. And I want to just emphasize that. You know, the more I have studied this topic, and the more I've gotten into it, losing a job, and whether you're losing the job because you got let go, whether you got phased out, whether you got downsized, or whether it was because you sold your own company or closed it up for one reason or another, all of those things are emotionally just as traumatic to our identity as losing a spouse, losing a member of your family. And if you're blindsided by the event, you know, the spouse left you abruptly or you were fired unexpectedly, it could take you longer than 2 years to adjust to that. You know, that's more time than most people expect. If you ask them, how long do you think it's going to take you to snap out of this? Well, you know, next week, a couple weeks. Hey, you've been moping around about this loss of your job for 2 months. Get with it, guy. You know, it's important to know roughly how long the emotional disruption will last. Once you get over the shock that this is going to be a long process, then you can kind of mentally relax. You can tell yourself, you know, I don't have to feel the pressure. I don't have to fix it tomorrow. I've got time to fix this. Now, maybe you'll find that it's going to take you less than 2 years to bounce back from this identity trauma. But hey, finishing a job early has never been a problem for any of us. It's when there's unrealistic deadlines that have been set that creates all the stress. And in this area of handling our own emotions, when there's this kind of trauma, when we didn't even recognize it was trauma, and in fact, if I told you you were suffering from trauma because you just sold your company or lost your job or whatever, you would tell me, Doug, you're crazy. I can handle this. I'm a big boy. Come on. Experts caution that it probably doesn't pay to ignore the process and hurry it along or deny it. They say by immediately diving into some new relationship, new environment, new business, that's not the solution. You're not ready for that yet. That's probably only going to postpone the day of reckoning. You know, after all, it takes time to rethink all of the things that may be disrupted by this emotional trauma, such as your living situation, your finances. Now, let me just stop. You know, finances is what we always focus on when something like this happens. I lost my job. How am I going to make money? I sold my company. Do I have enough money to live on? I retired. Do I have enough money to get by? We always want to deal with, and the material available, the literature on this, always talks about the financial aspects. I think that's almost insignificant compared to the emotional aspects of this issue. And that's the area I don't see people talking about. That's where this conversation, this series of conversation, is going. It's with the non-financial aspects of how you handle a change in who you are. You know, there aren't any shortcuts to this. The whole sweep of your life has to be reassessed and rewoven. You can't patch it together. Given the fact that you now recognize it's going to take time, given the fact, let's even step back one step further to the real beginning. The real beginning is recognizing that a change occurred here and you have to reassess who you are and what creates your sense of control and your sense of value. Once you've recognized that, then the next thing is to recognize that it's going to take time for this, for you to deal with this. Once you've done that, then you can start the process. So what are some steps? And I'm, you know, we'll get into more detailed steps in another broadcast, but let's just talk in general about three areas that you really need to look at. One is you need to develop a sense of security in your own personal identity. Remember, your identity is one of your own choosing. It isn't one you inherited. It isn't one that somebody bestowed upon you because you spent 4 years in college or because you've got 30 years of experience. It is one you gave yourself. And as a result, you can change it anytime you wish. The changing identities is a natural progression of life. We don't think about this. We think it ends. We all know and acknowledge that what we identified with as a child was far different than what we identified with for ourselves as a teenager. Way different from what we identified ourselves with as an adult. But those identity changes were kind of gradual. Maybe there were events that sort of marked that change when we moved out of our parents' house, or we got a job, or we had enough money in the bank that we didn't have to work anymore. But like a new pair of shoes, it takes a while before we break in a new identity and get comfortable with it. And the transition only goes smoothly when the change in identity is our idea. If I want you to change your identity, the odds of that happening successfully are next to none. You have to be willing to accept that whatever happened, you cannot control what happens to you. But you are the only one that can control how you react to what happened to you. So the loss of your identity, the event which made you feel you lost your identity, you didn't control, but how you react to that perceived loss is all up to you. Which is the fact that usually an identity crisis comes up when we're faced with a change that's not of our own choosing. And we become insecure and lost, and we're faced with this huge, painful prospect of self-discovery. Boy, don't we hate that word, self-discovery. I would rather analyze a dozen other difficult people than analyze myself. To sit there and stare at the wall and go, okay, Doug, what gives you your sense of value? What are you good at? What aren't you good at? Those are really, you know, I am a terrible conversationalist to myself. You need to embrace this self-discovery as a way to enhance your life and to learn more about yourself. You must remember that you've survived this long and you'll survive the change that's upon you if you deal with it. Even if it wasn't of your choosing, the new identity is entirely of your choosing. You need to be confident enough in yourself and your abilities to make the right choices, choices that are good for you. And you need to visualize yourself safely arriving at the next level eventually, not overnight. You need to visualize the new you, the new future, not the past. You need to reaffirm yourself often during the change. You need to be especially diligent in praising and rewarding yourself for little accomplishments. When I moved out of the established franchise forum business, and everything became dependent on my coaching business, which had been a side business, all of a sudden, I had to say, getting one new client was a big deal, and let's celebrate. I had to create the opportunities to reinforce the fact that I was secure in what I was doing. The second thing that you can do to help yourself move into this new identity is watch what you link to. Sometimes we bring this identity crisis on ourselves because we linked our personal identity to temporary things. You know, did you identify yourself as the owner of Doug's Development Company only to have the fact that when you sold or lost your company that suddenly who were you? Or maybe you were identified as the person with a beautiful garden, but when you lost your house, who am I now? So it's time to take an inventory. Who are you long term? What do you like to do? What kind of personality do you have? What are you good at? These are permanent things, things that people can't take away from you, things that you can easily identify with yourself. You need to spend some time exploring new interests. If you're making a major change, let's talk about a business situation where you're changing careers. And when I say changing careers, I'm talking about when you're no longer running the business or in the position that you've been in for many years. Just because you sold your business doesn't mean you're through with careers. What's the next career? Career is what you spend your time doing. It isn't necessarily what you made your living off of. Who knows what you may find in this new identity process? You need to take a vacation. You need to expose yourself to new ways of thinking about yourself. New people, a new club, a vacation to a new place, doing things differently. Make a written list of what you want the new you to be, and then you spend yourself time building that identity. Be ready to let go of those old links. Go back to my example. The fact that I had sold the business and I was begging the franchisor to let me keep coming to the national annual sales meetings. I didn't even like going to those meetings when I owned the business. But all of a sudden it was like, well, those people were my peers. Those people were the ones that I could talk to about that understood the problems of my business. Those people were the ones that could reinforce me and say, hey, Doug, you're really good at this. Can you give me some tips or whatever? And the thought of losing those people, of not going to that meeting, really made me insecure because my identity, my sense of how good I was in that business, of my self-worth, was linked to the relationships in that annual meeting to the point where when I wasn't going to, if I had to go, I wanted to complain about it. But if I couldn't go, it scared me to death that how would I know whether I was any good anymore? Who would tell me I'd had some knowledge or value? I needed to build a new identity. I needed to build a substitute, a replacement for what I had previously linked to. What was one of the things that I did? Getting very actively involved in the Orange County chapter of the International Coaching Federation, serving on the board, participating in the meetings, interacting with other people that were doing the same thing I was doing, all of a sudden reinforced my sense of worth, my sense of contribution, my sense of control. Okay, the third thing, you need to reject outside influences. Don't accept the influence of others in forming your new identity. You know, this is a really tough one because you've lost your identity. First thing you do is you want to turn to everybody else for help. Hey, Paul, give me some help. You want to get their suggestions and you want to get their support. But you know what? You're the one responsible for the identity. And here's the really rub on this whole deal. Those who are closest to you will probably be the biggest critics of your new identity. They love the way you were, and they're afraid if you changed, you'll no longer love them. You know, that doesn't make sense till you think about it two or three times, and then all of a sudden it does. You know, if you've got somebody who's totally supportive of you in changing your identity, that is a really great relationship. That is a rare friendship, and you want to hold on to that. But the majority of people that you knew will go, well, Doug, you were really good at the building business. Why would you think about doing anything else? Doug, you were a great facilitator at this. Do you really think that you could be good at something else? You know, you want to include your friends and family and associates in your new adventure, but you need to build the identity that is best for you all by yourself. And before you know it, the crisis will be over. We've talked about loss of identity. Why am I, a business coach, so concerned about this issue of identity? Two issues concern me. One is the term retirement, and the other is the aging of senior executives and business owners. When you look at the demographics, both of these situations have a high likelihood of creating a loss of identity for the people involved that's as serious as that caused by the loss of a spouse. My experience is that the majority of executives have done very little preparation other than financial for this identity crisis that they're going to face. Whether they're going into it voluntarily, hey, I don't want to go to work every day anymore, I'm selling my company and I'm going to stop going to work, or whether they're going into it involuntarily in that I have to sell my company, I've been pushed out of my company or whatever, now what am I going to do? Retirement is a word that is scaring a lot of people to death today, and I'll share some statistics with you. But the word retire, which is kind of interesting, stems from a French word for withdrawing or heading into isolation. If I told you, hey, your 30 years are up, now's the time for you to withdraw from a social active life, now's the time for you to go into isolation, how attractive would that be? No thanks, I don't think I want to do that. Which is why many people find that they really didn't want to retire at all once they started. What they wanted was a long vacation, not a permanent vacation. You know, the Rand Company did a lot of research on this, and they learned that a surprising number of people simply needed to make a break with their current position, current job, current company, current function, so that they could then figure out what they want to do next. Some statistics. The database on the back-to-work expectations and realization of work after retirement says that 26% of retirees reversed their decision and returned to work either full-time or part-time. And as many as 35% of those that did that were the youngest retirees. Not just the oldest, but the youngest. Those joining the ranks of the unretired, and that's the term we're calling for those who retired once and went back to doing something, those who joined the ranks of the unretired mostly made the decision because they found retirement less satisfying and more boring than they had ever expected. Perhaps surprisingly, unfilled work expectations were much more common than unfulfilled leisure expectations. The Kauffman Foundation promotes entrepreneurship, and its research shows that older people, meaning people 55 or 65 or older, older people start businesses more than any other age group. Would you have believed that? If I had asked you that, you probably would have told me, no, it's the 30s, the people in their 30s or their 20s. No, what you find is that at a percentage, more older people are starting new businesses than younger people. The share of new business formation by the 55 to 64-year-old age group rose from 14% in 96 to nearly 25% in 2013. 25% of the new businesses formed in 2013 were done by those people in the 55 to 64-year-old age group. So who says you're all done and all washed up just because your hair is a little gray? That's not what we're talking about. Over this same period, the 55 to 64 age group has started new businesses at a higher rate than those in their 20s and 30s specifically. You know, I believe that the issue of loss identity is especially critical in successful executives that have devoted a major portion of their life to driving their business. Even more critical is that their personal self-worth has been closely tied to their business success, and that their work-life balance has been tilted to the work side, not the personal side. That's why I'm passionate about this topic. If you look at the demographics, we are facing it. You are facing it today. If you aren't facing it today, you're going to be facing it. The number of people retiring, the number of people facing a major change in their work environment, which means a major change in their self-identity, is truly significant, and we're not emotionally prepared to deal with it. And that's what I want to talk about. We're going to go deeper into this in next week's show. I wanted to sort of set the bar here with a definition of the problem really is loss of identity, and the idea that this is a traumatic emotional psychological event, and you don't have to be ashamed of that. And we need to think about, okay, now that I know this is the wrong word to use, but now that I know I'm sick, I can deal with how do I get healthy. Now that I know that I'm going through a traumatic experience, it's okay, I can face up to it. How do I deal with it? That's what we're going to talk about next week as we continue this series. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for joining us here at the Coaching Perspective. I hope that if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective, and be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with a new perspective on the idea of your identity, the idea of retirement and changes in your life, and that with this perspective and with the information that we've talked about today and that we're going to get into in future shows, that you can put it to use immediately to identify and achieve a new identity. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.